This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. On My Honor by Sensual Fiend. Chapter 01. For the other women in the commune, prayer was a time of devotion. We shuffled into the prayer room at exactly 10 a.m. every day, smiling, our hands clasped together over our modest cotton dresses, looking forward to half an hour with no children to see to, no food to prepare, no chores, only the truth of God in our thoughts and tongues. Ever since I was 18 and old enough to go there, I too had treasured the time, listening to the other women, feeling the power of the word strengthen us, and being guided by our prayer teacher, always an older man of some experience. Recently, though, I had begun to be distracted. Reuben was relatively new in our commune, but had already started to make a name for himself as a biblical authority. Only slightly younger than my father, and with his rough beard, darting, bespectacled eyes and complex theological opinions, he was an imposing figure. Even so, it was still remarkable how quickly he managed to impress himself on our commune. For the last several months, he'd been asked by our elders to lead women's prayer, a decision that was met enthusiastically by many of us. My feelings were a little different. I had a secret. When he first joined, just over a year ago, I thought I caught Reuben looking several times with unusual interest at the shape of my 19-year-old body. I couldn't be sure, but in the weeks that followed, I felt his eyes resting on my breasts a little too long. Now, for more than half a year, he had been coming in the night to my room. Not every night, but more often than not. It began the same way, each time. He would creep in the low, blue light, my door always unlocked, as was a rule of the commune. He would perch on my bed and lower himself down beside me until we were lying together, his back creaking against the indiscreet springs in my mattress. He would bring his face next to mine, never touching it but always close enough that my mouth, chin, nose and right cheek were covered consistently with the shuddering, warm breath from his mouth, his big belly bulging against my right hip and nestling in the hollow of my waist. And then, with those long, long arms and fingers, he would begin, very gently, to touch me. I would freeze. Sometimes I pretended to sleep, but more often I would open my eyes and stare at him, watching him do things to me. Staring at him felt the bravest thing I could do, but I imagine I looked strangely still to him, my eyes glazed in soft alarm, like a horse looking at its master. It didn't perturb him. He felt entirely able to look me in the eyes as he violated me, sometimes with a patronizing fondness, and sometimes with a dismissive look that said shush. Just lie there and let me use you. If I'm really honest with myself, what he most likely read on my face was confirmation that he could do anything he wanted to me, if he hadn't thought so already. He didn't quite do everything, though. He would undress and rub himself against me, pushing yearningly against my abdomen and squeezing himself up between my breasts as he pushed them together. He would take my hands and wrap them around him, holding them and pushing into them. He would rub himself over my face too, and push himself into my mouth, holding my head firmly against him as he moved in and out of my lips, my jaw, my throat, over and over again, until he moaned and I felt that my mouth would never know any other shape but him. Sometimes he would branch his arms and legs out over me so that his thing lingered right between my legs, a wild look in his eyes, rubbing himself up and down with tiny, agitated movements all over that area so I felt the warmth and the stickiness of him pulling up and rocking against me, teasing my skin as I lay stupidly beneath him. But he always hesitated around the edges of my slit. I knew why. It was a sin to take the virginity of another man's daughter before marriage. It was a sin to touch her too, but clearly to nowhere near the same degree. Raping an unmarried woman's slit was the greatest theft of property you could ever commit against another man. It was an indignity to him, the ultimate token of disrespect, and a threat to the very patriarchy of our community. Women had a responsibility to their fathers and future husbands to stay pure until marriage, and Reuben, a very godly man, had great respect for other men. So, respectfully, he satisfied himself with my mouth, my outside skin, my hands, which he trained up to understand exactly how to hold him, tempt him, please him. I have to admit that I took some pleasure in it myself. After all, wasn't it the best thing a woman could do to find favor in the eyes of a man? Even an old, fat bastard? Every night, as I lay there silently with my eyes closed, every hair on my skin awake, I wondered whether I would be good enough, whether I'd please him that night and feel his long wet spurts of ejaculate in my throat where he'd often like to finish, or whether my body, impure and familiar, would finally bore him and he would leave my room, deciding never to visit me again. As much as I hated him, the thought filled me with slight anxiety. The nights he didn't visit me, I found myself tossing and turning. When I saw him in the day, at prayer or by the well, I would try to catch his eye, but was only ever met with a look of disapproval, if anything at all. It was only in the nights, when he came and raped my mouth, tenderly, with aggressive ownership, that I felt truly at peace. When he wasn't there, I began to think of little else. The thought of him alone, that greedy look in his eyes, owning me, using me, made me itch, and my hands went down compulsively to the place between my legs at any chance I got, although I'm ashamed to admit it. I know it's a disgusting sin for a woman to touch herself, a selfish perversion of the true order of things, but I felt so helpless. I was trapped. My nose was filled with the smell of his paunch, the absence of his thing leaving a strange space in my mouth and throat. My head was hot and tight with the memories of being forced against him, his hands holding me close as he drove himself into my mouth again and again. The sour taste of him, which I swallowed without fail, never seemed far from my tongue. The itch never seemed to go away, but only got stronger as I thought of him, my hands rubbing up and down between my legs the way he taught me, my body wet, my heart racing, my fingers fixed permanently underneath my skirts. It was a serious problem. Impure thoughts of him, of being underneath him, overwhelmed me. I was a slut. He had to stop coming to me, I couldn't bear it, I had to do something. Although I was 21, I still lived in my parents' house, under their guardianship, so I decided the best thing to do would be to tell my mother. It would be impossible, but I had to do it. This couldn't go on. I waited weeks before making up my mind, finding the right moment. Then, one day, as we were folding the laundry, she seemed to be in a good mood. The moment had come. I don't remember how I said it or how I managed to find the courage, but I told her what had happened, that Reuben had been coming for me, touching me in the night, rubbing himself against me, against my will. Her face was stiff with disbelief at first. Then, she slapped me. The shame of letting a man touch me, of making him want to touch me, stung my face. However, she said almost nothing, except your father will deal with this. My father ate somewhere else that evening, so returned late. I remember that when I heard him come in, I ran to hide in my room. I'd got into the strange habit of rubbing myself when I was anxious, and so I got into my bed, rubbing furiously. I thought of Reuben lying beside me, taking me. Would it ever happen again? What would happen to him? I didn't have to wonder long. To my horror, I heard the warm tones of Reuben's voice at the front door, my mother welcoming him in. There was a haze of some words I couldn't hear, and then I heard my father's footsteps on the stairs, with Reuben's following closely behind. They reached the top and then tapered away. For a terrible moment, I thought they were coming to my room, but it was my father's they were going to. In spite of myself, I pulled myself out of bed and my feet followed the two men, creeping out of my bedroom, down the hall and, my breath and feet getting more and more tentative, along to my father's doorway. The door was nearly closed, but there was still a small crack to see and hear through. I couldn't resist it. My father had been pacing around the room and was now standing right up to Reuben, looking him directly in the face. He got straight to the point. Is it true? My wife tells me you've been touching Lieta. My father sounded disgusted, and for once, I felt a touch of pride that he would be so angry over me. Reuben was looking aghast, and he muttered something I couldn't hear. Well, tell me, what's the truth of it? I must hear it from you. My father insisted. He had to hear something from another man to fully believe it. It's true. My father sighed, furious. But it's not what you think. I haven't dishonored her, sir, I give you my word. You're a great man. I'd never forgive myself if I did such a thing to you. No one has more respect for me than you. You haven't dishonored her, you say? No, I've been extremely careful with your daughter, I promise, sir. He said earnestly. I've played with her body, I admit, but I would never take her honor before marriage. I promise. I respect and admire you far too much to ever do that. You must believe me, sir. I wouldn't dream of it. There was a pause. Well, this is a slightly different matter. Through the crack, I could see my father stroking his face, still eyeing Reuben suspiciously. I'm sorry for touching your daughter without asking you. But you know, she does look at me in such a way. You know what she's like. My father purred in agreement. I can't deny that Lieta has always been something of a slut. I've tried to snap it out of her, but I agree, it's in her eyes. She's always been a willful girl. My father said with distaste. That's true, I'm afraid. I fear she's been that way all her life, from what I hear. I heard Reuben say. And with a girl like your daughter, it's very hard to help yourself. Very true. My father said, grinding his teeth. Look, sir, I understand. You're not to blame, and these things happen sometimes. Thank you, sir. I won't touch her ever again. Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, my father said generously. You're a good man and men must have their way sometimes. I suppose it wouldn't do any harm to keep touching her now that you've started if it gives you some pleasure. I couldn't see Reuben's face for a response, but I felt somehow that I could feel his gratitude to my father in the air. The way that my father said the word pleasure, so matter-of-factly, as he effectively handed my body over to this man, sent a cold dizziness straight through me. My whole body seemed to stop. But you must promise me not to take her virginity. My father was saying sternly. Do you swear? Of course, sir. You have my absolute word. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Right, well, that's settled. It's the least I can do, given the inconvenience my daughter's caused you, and it's only right that you should have some access to her, as she's shown herself to be a real whore to you. But frankly, I'm embarrassed this has happened. Stupid girl. I'm going to have to talk to her. He gave Reuben a cursory glance, and then had a second thought. Perhaps it would be best if you stay for this, do you agree? Yes, sir, that sounds sensible. Good. Letitia? I walked as fast and as quietly as I could away from the door, away, away, but I only got to the next room before my father was standing in the doorway. I was in plain sight. Ah, Letitia. Good. Come in here. I could do nothing but obey. The look Reuben gave me as he saw me for the first time since this very momentous conversation, my head bowed and trembling, was the wildest look of vindication I had ever seen. My father was not so pleased. He sat down on his bed. Now, I'd very much like to hear what you have to say for yourself. Reuben here, young miss, has told me everything. He's told me all about how you made him want to touch you. And I think you should think long and hard about what you've done. You've been looking at him and putting impure thoughts in his head, haven't you? Haven't you, young lady? I pulled my lower lip into my mouth. Don't deny it. Your mother told me he's needed to visit you half the nights of the week just to get his fill. It's disgusting. He's a good man and you, Letitia, have acted like a little whore. You should be seriously ashamed of yourself. But he... I didn't have the words to say what I wanted to say. Shush. You could never learn, could you? And now look what you've done. You always were a little Jezebel, weren't you? I... Don't make that face at me. If you'd been modest, this never would have happened. You know it's very difficult for a man to resist a young woman when they're so disgustingly seductive. You know that. Your mother told me Rubens needed to visit you again and again, night after night, and you just lay there for him. It's a good thing he's such a godly man and that we can trust him, or he would have taken your virginity completely from me. Which I'm beginning to think is the only thing you have left, young lady. You certainly don't have any dignity. He let his words sink in. I knew what that meant. I was spent, used, degraded. Reuben could touch me again if he wanted, without any fear of retribution, just so long as he didn't do anything to my hymen. It didn't matter now to my father Reuben had touched me before, so it wouldn't do any more harm as I was already spoiled in that way. In the act of staring at him as he looked at my breasts, in the act of freezing and lying still as he touched me, I had seduced him, given myself to him. The thoughts spread a strange heat all over me. It was my fault that he was tempted to touch me in the past, and anything he did to me in the future would be my fault too. Now I think you should apologize for making Reuben want to touch you, don't you? Reuben was nodding solemnly, and both men looked at me with righteous faces. I'd never wanted the floor to swallow me up more. What do you say? Sorry, father. I mumbled. That's not good enough. Come and bend over my knee. He smiled at Reuben. Reuben, would you mind handing me that switch in the corner? My father's favorite switch. I stumbled slightly backwards. Lift up your skirt, Letitia. Come on. My father commanded. My cheeks were on fire. I found myself stooping down to the hems around my ankles, picking them up and lifting my skirts to my waist, both at the front and the back, as I'd done so many times before for my father's switch. I must have looked so pale and ridiculous standing there. A grown woman of 21. Pathetic. Reuben was behind me, with a perfect view. He had never seen my backside before, even with everything he'd done. I dreaded my father's next sentence. And pull those down. I thought about running now, but it would be useless. In a tearful daze, I rolled down the little bit of cover I had left beneath my skirts, so that the lower half of my body was entirely, brutally exposed. Good, now come here and bend over. My father said in a hard voice. You need to learn to not be such a whore. I knew the drill. In fact, it was all too easy. Shivering, I bent my naked body over my father's lap, getting myself in the best position for him to punish me, which I knew off by heart. I could have bent over him so his trousers were touching only my belly, but he liked to have my backside aligned perfectly over his legs instead, just between the two of them, so that the place between my legs rubbed naturally against him. My skin chafed against his trousers and my arms flailed out in front of me, but I had learned that the best place for me, as far as my father was concerned, was wherever made me easiest to hit. Good go, my father said. This was more humiliating even than anything Reuben had done to me at night, in my feeling. My father was looking at my backside on his lap in clinical silence, my soft, round cheeks and perhaps even what lay between them. I heard the sound of Reuben shifting his chair forward slightly to get an even better view. The anticipation of the switch hung in the air. My father liked to do this to make you unsure of when it was coming so that you almost wanted it to happen. I closed my eyes and lay trembling. At last, he lashed the switch up into the air and it came down on me, hitting my cheeks, hard, just as I deserved. Now, say sorry for being a whore. I'm sorry, my voice rang out softly. He beat me again. What for? For being a whore. Again. He belted me. As sorry for being a whore. Say it again. Sorry. My voice was small now. I knew how to imitate the signs of obedience, but it was also something the switch did to me. You're a sinful little girl, aren't you? Again. Sorry. He whacked me over and over, my body juddering up and down on his lap, rubbing on him as I hurtled forward slightly with each crack of the switch, painfully aware that Reuben of all people, was watching. With every crack, first because my father ordered me to but then automatically, I said sorry, sorry to Reuben and my father, sorry for acting so seductively, for staring at Reuben, for being so stupid, for being a slut. Although I know the two men wanted to punish me for genuine sins and felt this would be good for me, I sensed there was also some gratification to be had for both of them in demeaning me in this way. Spankings were something that were done regularly in our commune, both to daughters and wives. It kept us submissive and was our husband's and father's God-given right. But it also seemed to be something the men enjoyed doing. The feeling of a naked girl on your lap, waiting obediently to be hit, must give you a sense of powerful authority as a man. and authority over a girl, I sensed, was particularly irresistible to both Reuben and my father. If I had never been spanked before, I'm sure I would have resisted this spanking, the most humiliating one of my life. But the switch was a sound that I had felt painfully on my cheeks for as long as I could remember. At first, I fought my dirty shame and hot fury, angry, even as I apologized and the switch spanked down on me again and again. But soon, voluntarily, I realized that this anger had run its course and could be switched off. With each crack and apology, after several minutes I started to become more and more relaxed. It was a strange relief to lie over my father's lap and to be entirely at his mercy. I stung with the hard welts that reflected his anger and admonishment, but something in me also accepted and even welcomed them. After a while, despite my humiliation, I felt a strong surge of love for my father. He really was teaching me. Finally, my repeated apology was fully believable. "Well," my father said finally, "after 3 or 4 more strikes for good measure, I'm quite satisfied that the message has sunk in. But perhaps you'd like to have a go too, Reuben? After all, my daughter did a disservice to you most of all."
"Thank you," Reuben said.
"Would you like the switch? Or perhaps you'd just like to use your hands? By all means, feel free to do whatever you like." I sensed smiles exchanged by the two men above me. Suddenly I felt Reuben's big hand belting down on me, my backside still on my father's lap. I gasped out. He hit again. I lunged forward, biting hard on my lip. My father held me still while Reuben dealt another blow and another, pouring into me a torrent of long-held energy. I noticed to my shame that I was beginning to get warm and wet and slippery on my father's trousers under the intimacy of Reuben's strong, relentless hands. The friction, in fact, as I jutted forwards, wasn't enough. Between spanks, I found myself rocking imperceptibly. I hoped on my father's legs. "Yes," I thought to Reuben. "I belong to you." I had seen him as a dirty, perverted man, but I realized now that I was the one who was dirty. He was simply doing what he needed to do to me. I was the one who called for it, who begged for it with my eyes, my still lips, my body and stupid, innocent face. He was a good man, perhaps, after all. He was beating me hard, my cheeks already sore and swelling with the welts my father had already delivered. He was bothering to beat me, taking his time with me, teaching me with his hands. I felt a flash of gratitude, which lingered and warmed my body. I writhed beneath him on my father's lap, ashamed, helplessly rubbing myself up against my father from the intensity of the moment, the pleasure of Reuben, beating me, touching me, wanting me. My whole body suddenly spasmed for about 15 seconds, an electric shock seeming to buzz between my legs, overtaking my arms, legs, chest, mind in a wave of an indescribable, complete, ecstatic loss of control. My head floated up, I felt faint, everything tensed and gushed and cried out as Reuben excitedly, consistently, righteously spanked me, and my father held me down to be spanked. I didn't know it was possible to feel this way. I was a mess. Reuben kept on spanking, until finally he said it was enough. I was dazed. I noticed that a wet patch lay on my father's trousers not only where I was, but also a little higher up. I stumbled up on my feet, pulling myself hurriedly together, trying to look respectable, although I knew that to Reuben and to my father I would never look respectable again. I kept my eyes pinned to my feet.
"Thank you, sir," Reuben said.
My father's voice was husky.
"No. Thank you.
Your discipline is perhaps just what she needs. I misjudged you, sir. You're clearly a good man. I should have trusted you not to steal from me.
I appreciate that, sir.
And yes, I think I can do something with your daughter."
"Very good.
No doubt you will. You must feel free to come round whenever you like, night or day. She needs to get used to following the orders of another man if she's ever to please her husband someday."
"That's very generous of you."
"On the contrary. It's good to meet a man who understands how to do things. I hope we'll be seeing much more of you, Reuben."
"Oh, you will, sir. You can trust me."
"Good. And don't forget that while you should leave her virginity intact, there are other ways you can use her." My father rested his hand on my backside for a few seconds before continuing. At the time, I didn't understand why. "And if she doesn't do as you say, be sure to let me know."
Chapter 02.
That night, the night my father had given me to Reuben to do almost anything with me, was the longest of my life. It was also the first time that Reuben properly talked to me. We had left my father's room, Reuben with a curt smile and a final expression of thanks to my father, and me following him with my head down, my chest pounding. When we got to my room and he closed the door softly behind us, he finally spoke. "So, are you going to be a good little girl for me? You heard your father." I had heard my father, but I was beginning to wish I hadn't. I looked up at him with a dumb face, and he sighed roughly, with satisfaction. I couldn't compute what was happening. How had this man, with his beard and complicated, wrinkled eyes, become so involved with me? What did he want with me? He had been touching me for months, but I still couldn't fully understand it. I was uninteresting to him, surely just a stupid girl of 21 with no special spiritual gifts and little understanding of the outside world. It was true that I had always been at the top of my class, but I was only a girl, and a girl can never truly compete with a man's intelligence. I had known that since I was a young child. I felt so insignificant when I listened to him teach or talk about complex things with other men, or even when I just looked at his shoulders and arms. I was weak and soft. And yet this man was looking at me with so much interest. What could he possibly see in me? "I can tell we're going to get along well, Letitia. But you're going to need to do everything I say.
and you must never, ever, tell someone about the things we do together again. Okay? His voice and face were calm with the natural authority he felt. It washed over me.
I nodded.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
Good girl. Now get down on your knees. I knelt obediently before him, my mouth feeling small, as he began to unbutton his trousers.
Good.
Close your eyes. He took my hands and clasped them together in front of me. I realized with a rush that he wanted to see me as I looked when I went to prayer every day. I heard him groan with a low voice, as if he was unable to stop himself, and he finished unbuttoning his trousers. They fell to the floor, a small bit of fabric touching my knees. He didn't have to tell me to open my mouth. He pressed himself between my open lips and soon my whole mouth was full of him. He forced himself in slowly at first, and I was able to make sure my lips covered my teeth so it would be a smooth experience. My cheeks felt tight and my head bobbed in and out for him, rolling his thing along my tongue and swirling it around him. My eyes stayed closed and I kept my hands up, just beneath my mouth as I sucked, clasped together. Had he been stealing glances at me all this time in the prayer room, imagining himself standing in front of me, my whispering mouth ready to suck him? Or did he want to have the picture for himself for tomorrow, the next day and the next when he was teaching me and the other women, so he could look at me, my hands clasped together, my eyes closed, on my knees, and secretly know that he owned me? Soon he was moving his hips frantically in and out too, with no regard for my mouth. He overpowered my throat, and I had to relax it in a certain way to make sure I didn't choke, as I'd taught myself to do over these months. With Reuben in my throat, my mind flashed back to the wet patch I had seen on my father's trousers just a few moments before, after he had been spanking me and holding me down for Reuben to spank. Had my father secretly enjoyed having me on his lap, rubbing myself all over his trousers as he spanked me and held me, the way Reuben was enjoying me now? When I thought of it, there had been a big bulge in my father's trousers when I had bent over his lap for him to spank me. Instinctively, my lips let out a little murmur around Reuben as I sucked him. He moved faster and faster into me.
Good girl.
He said, and his voice reminded me of the way my father said it too. He grabbed the back of my head with both of his hands and directed me in and out, over and over, even though I couldn't fully breathe. He had complete control of me. He had begun to gasp, no longer worried about being quiet as he had been before my parents knew he was raping me. Or was it even rape now, when my father had given me away to him? Certainly I had no choice in the matter, but wasn't that something for my father to decide? In any case, Reuben felt able to moan as he pushed himself over and over again into my throat, and I could hear him getting more and more excited, his long fingers pulsing up and down on my head, sometimes squeezing my long hair and pulling it as he used me. It felt like an age before he finally released himself, dripping into my throat, which I kept obediently open, though it was almost impossible. I half swallowed, but he stayed inside my mouth until he had retracted a long way, soft and small inside me, my lips at the base of him, pressed up as far as they would go, my nose against his groin. There was a certain pride to having this man soft inside my mouth, knowing I had pleased him. My tongue ran affectionately over him, unable to help myself from continuing to gently suck. I opened my eyes and saw that he was smiling down at me. His fingers ran through my hair and gently massaged my head, like I was a dog. This little gesture, my interest in continuing to suck him, made him so pleased. He slowly drew his soft thing out of my mouth and I leaned forward to kiss the tip of it as it drooped between his legs. You're a very good girl, Letitia. You need me, don't you? Don't worry, I'll be here to take care of you from now on. He stepped out of his trousers and unbuttoned his shirt to reveal his broad chest, which I had never seen before. I looked wonderingly at this man, with his worn eyes, his massive shoulders and protruding belly, so much older than me, and he took my clothing off me too with surprising ease. He went to the door, gently turning off the light. Then, softly, he returned. He picked me up and laid me down in my bed, and then got in beside me, as though he were my husband. Obedient as I was terrified. Was this big man going to stay in my bed all night? Could he do that now, with access to my body the whole night? I had hoped that if I pleased him once and felt him in my throat, he would leave and visit me again some other night, as was his usual way. But that was before this new arrangement. He wrapped his arms around me possessively, turning me towards the wall, and yawned. It was late, and we were both exhausted. I caught his yawn and closed my eyes, although I felt it would be impossible to sleep in the arms of this strange man. After perhaps a few hours of blackness, I woke to feel his hands fondling my breasts. He was still there. My eyes were gritty, but I felt him pressed close against me. His big belly was tight against my back and one hand was wandering all over my body, the other groping my breasts one by one as if he were trying to decide which he liked best. He was squeezing my nipples hard. I didn't like it, it was too much, I was scared. I jolted. Shhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh lay stiff while his hands searched me. He was still squeezing my right nipple intently. Shhhh. My eyes began to get accustomed to the darkness, and I could make out the folds of my half-open curtains as I lay there passively. His other hand moved over my belly, my thighs, my hips, seeming to feel my softness with his strong, calloused hands. I thought again how old he was. Was he enjoying the feeling of my youth? Was he enjoying the knowledge that I was a woman old enough to be his daughter, and yet that he was in my bed, his hands all over me? I thought of the way he smiled when my father gave him his blessing to use me, and I shuddered. His hand made its way to between my legs. "Dirty bastard," a voice said in my head somewhere. No, he wasn't dirty. He was just taking me. It was natural that he would put his hand there, regardless of my feelings. He was a man. His three middle fingers explored the area between my thighs, his other hand still twisting my nipple painfully, refusing to let it go. He felt the shape of my lips down there, the thick mass of my hair, my soft wetness under his warm, firm hand. Gasping, he buried his middle finger deep into my labia to find the opening of my slit, the one place he would not go out of respect for my father. Very lightly, his finger traced up and down between my inner lips, pausing each time he got closer to that forbidden hole before moving back up again. I had very little pleasurable feeling in this exact area, but there was undeniably something interesting in this. It was like a game to him. His finger pulsed and nibbled lightly at the edges of my opening, never pushing too heavily, but obsessively stroking it. "Good girl. Good girl," he whispered, his breath soft on my cheek. He was pressing against my backside now, which was still sore with the welts from earlier, and to my horror I felt him big and hard against me again. His fingers still stroked at the opening of my slit, and he pushed himself against me just as repetitively. His breath was heavy and churning. His thing was nestled between the cheeks of my backside. It felt soft and firm at once. Although it was hard though, it at least didn't feel like much danger in that exact place. I was yet to find out what my father meant when he rested his hand there and suggested there were other ways to use me that left my virginity intact. Reuben moaned softly. He was still pushing against me, his belly melting into the small of my back, but he moved his middle finger up from my slit to my face, resting it against my lips. I looked at it, and after a few seconds stopped pretending that I didn't know what was obvious he wanted me to suck it. I had never tasted my own juices. They were different from his. Sour, but also sweet, and much less thick. I sucked harder. His finger tasted salty too, and was so smooth. I was disgusted, but decided I liked the taste of myself on him. He was grunting as I sucked, rubbing himself up against me. He took his finger out of my mouth. My slit called out to him, expecting him. But instead, softly, I felt his hand rest against the welts on my behind, just as my father had done. The silence was deadly. Then, very gently, but quite deliberately, his finger pressed against the hole there. My other hole. My heart seemed to stop. I hadn't even thought of it as another hole until now, but strange stories that I hadn't believed rushed to my mind, and it suddenly dawned on me that he may have felt differently about that place for quite some time. He was breathing very heavily now. He circled the area with his finger. And then a move that I didn't think was possible, he poked it hard. His finger crept, agonizingly, just inside my hole. What did he want? My eyes were fixed to the wall. My hole was tight around him, but his finger poked painfully up and up. Although I'd just been sucking it, it felt practically dry, and the thought of whether or not what we were doing was physically possible terrified me. It was lucky that my head body had managed him this far. What would happen when he moved his finger back out? With horror and relief, I soon found out. Coming out of the hole had a pain of its own. I was wrapped tightly around him. My body didn't want to let him go. But finally, he was out. It was over. I had survived. But instead of leaving it at this, he was bringing his finger back up to my mouth again. Shhhh, suck. He must have known how humiliating this was. There was nothing I wanted to do less. I took it back into my mouth and sucked obediently. His finger seemed somehow pleased to have my lips and tongue around it. It tasted strange, though not exactly unclean. He pushed it obnoxiously in and out of my mouth in the dark, breathing with quiet, husky satisfaction. Shhhh, he was whispering. This was horrific. What kind of pleasure was I bringing to this man? I could barely bring myself to comprehend the image he had before him, what I had allowed him to do to me, and what I was allowing him to do to me right now. A better woman wouldn't have brought this on herself. I was a whore. He knew it. And so did my father. But screw my father. All that mattered was the man peering greedily into my face, forcing me to suck his horrible finger. Surviving this night. This moment. Wiser than before, I made sure to cover Reuben's finger with my spit this time. All too soon, he moved his hands greedily back down. His finger, dripping, went all the way in now, and so fast, deep, deep inside me. It was unthinkable. But this was really happening. He let it stay there for what felt like a minute as he pushed his thing up and down between my cheeks and sighed deeply. Finally, he took his finger out. I felt too scared to breathe. He didn't care. He turned me over face down so I rested on my lower arms, and pulled my lower half up towards him. "Now, I need you to stay very still for me, okay?" My parents could surely hear the creaks of my mattress now, if they woke up. But the house was silent. Very slowly, holding himself carefully with one hand and stretching my left cheek back with the other, Reuben lowered himself, oh God, into my hole. The hole that my father had granted him free use and ownership of, as I now understood. He was claiming it. His thing pushed gently at the opening, at the soft mouth that opened up for him only very slightly, and would have screamed if it could have. He was pushing gently, yes, but he couldn't disguise his firmness, or the massive size of it against me. Surely this was impossible. It wouldn't go in. It would break me. But edging it closer and closer, pushing with a force so hard I couldn't bear it and grunting softly as he told me what a good girl I was, he pushed it inside me. Just the first little bit. It felt so big, stretching me. He hovered there. Shhhh, good girl. Let me come inside you. Then he pushed even further. I couldn't think. I could just feel his strength, his bigness, his hands pushing on the small of my back. Inside me, He felt brutal and like velvet, both at once. At last, with a full groan that embarrassed me and vibrated inside me, he was all the way in. I had done it. I had taken him inside me. All of him. He stopped there and started rocking his hips against me. His breath was heavier, deeper and hoarser than I could ever have imagined. My bed creaked loudly, but he didn't seem to care. He just kept on going, as though addicted to the feeling of being inside me. What was happening to me? This man, this old, imposing man of God, was inside me. Fully inside me. Down there. He was everything and everywhere. Every inch of him was swelling lustfully in the most embarrassing and intimate place in my body. He was using me, taking me, rocking inside me. It didn't hurt quite so much now, but the fullness of him inside me was overwhelming. He was lunging into me now, moving slowly and deliberately into me, moving back slightly and lunging again. His whole body weighed on me and I felt so fragile, so narrow and hollow beneath him, his massive body overpowering mine. I remembered again how he was old enough to be my father. Was it a sense of protectiveness that I was feeling from him, emanating from his big shoulders and his arms wrapped around me? From his heaving belly? Even while he lunged into me and hurt me, I felt strangely held. We were breathing together, rolling into each other. One organism. My mind flashed to earlier in the evening, when he and my father had spanked me. For being raped by him, Reuben. For attracting him, lying still, letting him use me over and over again, like a whore. I was suddenly impressed by the fact that they had felt such a strong and urgent need to punish me for that. To teach me, and make me better. Reuben in particular had pummeled down on me, whacking me over and over again with so much feeling. My backside still ached from the touch of his bare hands from earlier, as he lunged himself deeper into my hole. And now I was doing it again. I was being raped, this time with my father's permission, because I had been a whore. Because I was still a whore. If I were chaste, Reuben wouldn't need to be doing this to me. If I had smaller breasts and less flirtatious eyes, he wouldn't feel the need to exercise his right as a man over me. Of course I was ashamed of the lust I was provoking in him, but I felt an inexplicable reassurance in his attention on me too as he forced himself in and out of me. I was his. Squirming inside myself, I felt a strange little feeling. Was it gratitude? What he was doing, the way he was taking me, breathing on me, using me, seemed to unlock something in me, just as he had unlocked something in me earlier on my father's lap. The parts of me that felt good when they were touched had barely had his attention, but they screamed out to me all the same. Reuben. My mind flashed to moments of particular authority, and with that I had seen him show, his stories and teachings in the prayer room, his passionate discussions with the elders. I felt humbled that this extraordinary person wanted me, needed to use my body, couldn't stop tearing at me and touching me with hands that must have touched so many other women. But I was the one he needed to rape. Me. That itch, that burning itch that only Reuben brought out in me. I don't know what possessed me, as I would never have dreamed of doing this in front of a man if I had any of my senses about me, and this man least of all, but my hands crept down beneath me. I started to push myself against my hands softly at first, hoping desperately that he wouldn't notice. But once I'd started, I couldn't stop. I was rubbing myself, while he forced himself inside me, over and over again. My hands worked hard and my hips started to move beneath him. I must have looked pathetic, but I couldn't help myself. His big body was on top of me, filling me up, raping me, doing things that were beyond my imagination. It was too much, and this seemed to somehow be the only answer. Reuben chuckled. You're a very dirty little girl, aren't you? I should have stopped, but I couldn't. I had the sensation that I had no shame now, and therefore nothing left to lose. So I carried on rubbing, a short, high little moan coming from my lips now and then as he sank himself in and out of me. His voice took on a more serious tone. I'll have to make sure you don't do this too often, though. This isn't for you to touch. It's for me. Okay? He gently explained. Yes, sir. I stopped rubbing, my shame returning instantly. Good girl. These two small words of approval were all I had. I savored them. He continued pushing himself into me with abandon, and I tried to live up to these words for him, taking him uncomplainingly and staying still. I was a good girl for him. He needed me. He was using me. I was giving him pleasure. But I understand, Lieta. You need me, don't you? The warm sound of his words echoed on my neck. Look, if you're a very good girl, I'll let you do something, okay? When I'm inside you like this, I might let you touch yourself if you ask my permission. But only when I'm inside you like this. Do you understand, Letitia? I nodded. What do you say? It was humiliating, but my hands were so excited to start again, and my whole body tensed up at the thought of being allowed to touch myself again beneath him. Thank you, sir. Say thank you, master. A fire flashed through my body from the inside out. Thank you, master. I said to him. Okay, you can touch yourself now. My hands scrambled to rub myself, and my hips rocked beneath him frantically. He laughed and began to lunge faster into me, rocking against me as if he were riding a horse. I would never have imagined it, and could barely admit it to myself, but he felt strangely good inside me. My anger heightened as I realized the horrible truth. I wanted more of him. I wanted him close, owning me. Even like this. If you weren't such a dirty little girl, I wouldn't have to do this. He said firmly, but affectionately. I only rubbed myself harder. The air seemed to become thick and I sneezed, struggling to breathe or make any sense of anything. But you like men using you, don't you? I could tell from the first time I saw you. He grabbed my left breast again as if to suggest it were evidence of my lust. I sneezed again. He was pawing at it, squeezing it.
Say yes, master.
Yes, master.
Good girl.
It's much better for you if you admit what you are. God can't forgive our sins if we don't admit them, can he? He was pushing himself harder and faster, his thing swelling. I think you should ask God's forgiveness, don't you?
Why yes, master.
Sorry.
Good girl.
Why don't you say a little prayer now to say sorry to God for what you're making me do? A tear that I hadn't known was there rolled onto my cheek. Do I have to, master?
Now?
His hand came tight around my throat. You're being a stupid little girl, Letitia. Do you really think you know God better than I do? You should always trust me that I know what's best for you. He gripped more firmly.
Always.
Then he let go. I'm sorry, master. I shut my eyes hard.
Dear father, I'm.
My chin trembled. I'm sorry for making Reuben rape me. More tears formed and fell.
I'm really sorry.
I stammered out, fast, really meaning it.
Good girl.
He stroked my hair. He was breathing me in, and seemed pleased.
Strong.
I crumbled underneath him, hoping he wouldn't see. My hands moved faster again, helplessly. He was moving faster now too. You should always say sorry to God after I've raped you, okay? And you should say sorry to your father too. Frankly, I think it's time we kept you under much tighter control so you don't go around dishonoring him even further. My eyes grew big but they continued staring at my pillow.
Would you like that?
He asked teasingly.
What do you say?
Yes, master. His words were firm and confident, but they also shook with obvious pleasure, as he forced himself into me more and more violently.
That's right.
You want to be kept under my control, don't you? Because I know exactly how to turn you into the good, godly young woman that God intended you to be. I'm going to teach you how to respect me and how to respect your father.
My face burned.
Yes, master.
He moaned.
My young skin and my obedience were too much for him. He squeezed my left nipple again violently, delighting in it, and pouring his hands over my breasts again and again. He was ramming into me like a relentless machine, faster and faster, stabbing me with his thing over and over. A silkiness flooded over me with each lunge, laced now and then with a spiky brutality as he hit too hard, pulled too fast, poked too eagerly at my walls.
Say sorry, Letitia.
He whispered hoarsely.
Say sorry for being a whore.
I'm sorry for being a whore, master. He grunted urgently, gripped my nipple, let out a gasp, and at last, a warm, silky liquid seeped into me, traveling upwards as far as it could go. It felt like love. He kept his grip on my nipple until his thing had shriveled and retracted, soft, and still inside me. Then, finally, he pulled himself out.
Good girl.
He whispered. You've made your master very pleased. I glowed with the praise, despite everything, enjoying the warm residue of him inside me, and kept rubbing myself, finally edging towards a wave of pleasure, almost ready for it to overcome me. He lay back down beside me and put his hands around mine. For a moment I thought he might help me. Instead, he folded my hands together, closing them and bringing them up, away from my labia and under my pillow.
Sure.
That's not for you to touch. Only when I'm inside you, remember?
Yes, master.
I said in a little voice, moving my backside instinctively closer towards him and digging my fingers helplessly into the mattress.
Good girl.
Now get some sleep. I want you to be nice and fresh for when I need to use you in the morning.
Chapter 03.
The things Reuben wanted to do to me played perfectly into the way I'd been brought up. It was wrong to question a man. Your own wishes were immaterial. You were irrelevant. Still, I couldn't help feeling on some level that what he was doing was wrong. I couldn't articulate why, but his ownership of me violated me. My father, who owned my body, had given Reuben permission to rape me. And yet some part of me resisted, as if I had any rights, and wasn't just a stupid girl, as I'd always been raised to believe on the commune. My struggles with processing this consumed my headspace for the next 2 months. In the nights, Reuben came to me and used my body. But in the day, as I listened to the word, washed clothes, kneaded bread, I felt him inside me too. The thought of his ownership of me pressed in on my head, making me feel hot and small. Worthless. It tightened me and loosened me at the same time. Was this what God wanted for me? I thought of the way Abraham treated Hagar, and the punishment in the Old Testament for raping an unmarried woman having to marry her. Those passages had always done something to me, so that I couldn't help wanting to touch myself as I read them. But for the same reasons, they also made me angry and ashamed. It had always been a bad thing to be a woman, ever since Eve ate that apple and made Adam eat it too. Much like God, Reuben was everywhere. When he was physically with me, my mind at least could escape, but when he wasn't, his presence loomed over me like an ever-growing cloud, capable of attacking at any given moment. My father made this even easier for him. One otherwise ordinary supper time, he asked me whether I was being obedient. My father's question was vague, but I knew what he meant, and I could see on my mother's face to my shame that she understood too.
Yes, sir,
I said quietly, putting some more food in my mouth in order to occupy it.
Good girl.
He cleared his throat. I've talked to Reuben and we've agreed that you should make yourself available every evening, in case he decides to visit. I didn't know what he meant. I was already always available for Reuben. My father smiled at my mother before looking back at me. You know, I think he has honorable intentions, Titia. He's a good man. So I'd like you to make sure you're in your room by 8 every evening, so it's easier for him to see you whenever he wants to make a call. You want to make sure he still likes you, don't you? I faltered. There were other young men who liked me, and Reuben was in his early 40s, at least 20 years my senior. What did Reuben have that made him such an irresistible candidate for my hand? I looked at my mother. Obey your father, she said with a placid nod. I don't know how she managed to say the words so easily. I couldn't look at him, but I could feel a kind of heat coming from across the table. Yes, sir, I said before changing the subject. From then on, I went to my room early every evening as I'd been ordered. I tried at first to be productive in the anticipation of Reuben's arrival, but soon realized it was useless. The images of him, the fear of him arriving and taking me whenever he chose, were too distracting. I was an object. A kind of slave. The truth of being completely owned was almost intoxicating. It made the air thicker. It became a habit, as I lay on my bed waiting for him, to edge my hands down towards my private parts and start rubbing furiously. I listened out for his footsteps, not allowing myself to breathe freely or make a sound, ready to leap my hand back and look like a good girl for him. He couldn't know. And yet I couldn't help humping and rubbing myself as I lay there anxiously, reflecting on my status as his whore. My mind took me, as it always had, to strange, dark places. Reuben in concrete form didn't exist in these worlds, but men like him took a similar shape. As I humped my hands waiting, these men would beat me, punish me, take me. They knew who I was. I was far away in such a world one evening when Reuben crept in. At the sound of the door, my heart jumped into my face and froze. It was something I'd always feared would happen, but which I'd always told myself I'd escape. I shot out of bed and brushed my skirts down, trying to assume a more modest pose, but it was too late. What have you been doing? His voice was disturbingly warm. I nothing. Nothing, master. He corrected. You've been playing with yourself again, haven't you? He fixed his eyes on me. He knew. I nodded, unable to meet his gaze. He seemed amused but made an effort to be solemn, moving closer and putting his hands on my upper arms. His voice was dripping and unbearable. Did it make you feel good? I shook my head violently, a tear dripping to the carpet. Don't lie to me, Letitia. A girl like you. He shook his head, smiling. Even your own father likes you. His words stopped me dead. A deep part of me had known this was true, but it had never been spoken of before. I understood his implication, too. I invited the attention because that was just how much of a whore I was. He raised my chin with his hand. You've got to do what I say, okay? You're not allowed to touch yourself unless I'm inside you. And only then if you have my permission. I've told you this. Yes, master. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell your father about this. I can't have you touching your body like this, like a selfish slut. It's a violation of me, and of your father too. His words stung and I felt genuinely sorry. What do you need to say to me? He asked, as if I were a child. It was as though he'd been inside my head, watching my fantasies rather than my hands and body. Sorry, master. That's right. He brought his own hand over to my private parts, rubbing his palm over me in circles. That's right. He repeated, his voice moving into a whisper. He pushed me towards the bed and made me lie in front of him. I felt his cock already strong behind me, as he unzipped himself and struggled to pull down his trousers and underwear. He had forbidden me to wear anything beneath my skirts, so he had no such trouble with me. His finger fell again onto my front opening, tracing my hymen, the one thing he couldn't yet take. I felt a tight pressure, but not quite enough to rip me apart and stretch the tissue. He moaned as he circled it, the one thing I had that seemed to be of some value. He had already brought out the lube which he carried with him all the time now, and moved it over his full cock, rubbing the cold gel around my back hole quickly too. I could already almost feel him inside me, filling me up. I moved my backside slightly towards him. And then, unable to stop myself, I rubbed it very slowly up against him. I hated the pain that often came when he lunged himself inside me, but this moment, this anticipation. I felt him close against me and the air was thick and heavy again. Good girl, Letitia. He said, hoarsely, pushing against me. He took my hand and brought it to his penis, waiting for me to guide it into my behind. Shaking slightly, I obeyed him. He moaned, fully inside me within a few painful seconds. Good girl. You're a very, good, little girl. His tone was so affectionate. And yet this man almost twice my age knew that I had no choice in the matter of this encounter. He kept me on my side so he had easy access to my slit, and rubbed his finger gently again and again around my opening, clearly focusing on it as he plunged himself into my other hole. I wondered whether this was because he thought that hole was so much better than the one he was forced to use, or whether it was because it reminded him that I was still a virgin, making this act even more forbidden. Naturally, he ignored the rest of that area. Why would he be interested in touching it much, anyway? It would have given me pleasure, but that wasn't his priority. Do you like this? It wasn't really a question. You like having your master inside you, don't you? I didn't consult my feelings before answering. Yes, master. Good girl. Just lie there. Just lie there and let me use you. These words were like a poison. I stayed very still, except to move my backside slightly further towards him. He smiled at me and for the first time, he took my hand and guided my right thumb towards my mouth. He pushed on it until it went the whole way in, and looked insistently at me to suck it. Finally, I did. The intimacy of sucking my thumb while he did this to me was unbearable. Good girl. Just lie there and let me rape you. His breath became ragged and his plunges stronger. His beard tickled my shoulder. I moved my thumb out of my mouth for a moment. Can I touch myself, master?
Yes. I had already lost all my dignity. My gratitude was absolute.
Thank you.
Don't forget who I am, Letitia.
Thank you, Master.
Good girl.
That's right. I quickly put my left thumb in my mouth and moved my right hand down in one motion. Closing my eyes, this was a kind of ecstasy. I could forget what it meant for me to be owned, the messy shame that I usually felt burning into me. I could focus on the pure feeling of my master's cock inside me, using me. My master? My hand leaped up for a moment. I had never called him that inside my own head. What was I doing to myself? Reuben moaned, oblivious to my feelings. His cock tormented me, pinning me to a place between heaven and hell. It was full and rich inside me, and I could tell that he was close now from the way he held his body. I moved my hand back down and humped it vigorously, wildly, urgently. Perhaps there was a demon inside me. My tangled hair lashed softly against my back and I hoped it wasn't hitting his face, but I couldn't control myself. He didn't seem to care. My behind was jolting violently against him now just as hard as he rammed into it. I disgusted myself. How could there be any part of me that didn't hate this? Just a few months ago, I wouldn't have thought what he was doing to me was even possible. It didn't even really feel good, and yet I closed myself and tightened myself over him, opening and taking him in, just for him, just to please him, my rapist. My master. Shhhhh. He brought himself to whisper. I sucked harder on my thumb and pressed myself hard against the palm of my hand, rocking on it obsessively. With staggered, hard breaths, he jammed into me so that his balls were hard against me. There was a pause and I was terrified that I displeased him in some way, but then I felt it his ejaculate, dripping deep into me. He made a humming sound so gentle that my knees felt weak. Sighing, he came out of me, careful to not let his seed spill, and then he firmly took my right hand away, pressing it to the other hand by my face. I had been so close, but I wasn't allowed to touch myself anymore. Instinctively, I smiled at him quietly.
Thank you, Master.
He beamed, looking happier than I'd ever seen him, and squeezed me tight. Without a word, he zipped himself back up and left the room. His steps echoed down the hall. How had I not heard them earlier? On my tiptoes, I followed him at a safe distance to my father's bedroom. I'm afraid she keeps touching herself. I heard him say. She's a young girl and she doesn't know any better. But it's not becoming. I thought you might like to know so you can punish her yourself, sir.
Thank you, Reuben.
You did the right thing to tell me.
You're welcome.
And another thing, sir. If I may. There was a long silence.
Please go on.
My father entreated. I'd like to ask you for your daughter's hand in marriage, sir. And on the question of Letitia's wedding night. I saw him draw close to my father, resting his hand for a second on his upper back. I've been much in prayer over this. And I think I know what God wants me to do, sir. He looked my father deep in the eyes.
Yes?
My father feigned disinterest. Reuben took a deep breath. When it comes to taking Letitia's honor. He looked away, smiling to himself for a moment, and then fixed his eyes solemnly on my father. His voice was quiet, but firm.
I think it should be you. Chapter 04.
My father could hardly speak. A long moment lasted an eternity.
Are you sure?
He finally mumbled. His voice was a reverent whisper, like a prayer. My heart leapt into my feet.
Yes, sir.
It's the right thing to do. She's your daughter. My father looked more moved than I had ever seen him, at the gift of my virginity. A single tear ran down his cheek, which he didn't bother to even brush away. The two men, my father and my rapist and husband-to-be, locked eyes as though they had never seen each other before, as they sold me to each other, and an unspoken moment passed between them that sent a shiver down my spine. You're a true man of God, Reuben. My father said, chokingly. Reuben tried to hide his pride, but I could tell, even from my position behind the door, that he was very pleased. It was a real sacrifice he was making. And perhaps more importantly, there was no question that it sealed me as his bride. Well, that settles it. I'll marry Letitia, and when the time comes, you can take her virginity. My new fiancé said, as though it were nothing, but unable to stop himself from stealing another glimpse at my father's enraptured face.
Thank you,
my father said humbly. So, let's talk some more about the wedding, Reuben said, brushing the gift off, modestly. I was thinking perhaps August the 16th. Just 2 months' time. I looked down at my father's corduroy trousers and saw that familiar bulge. I felt sick to my stomach. How about July? My father suggested. There's no need to wait so long, and it would still give the women ample time to make the arrangements.
Perfect, sir.
July it is.
Very good.
Letitia and her mother can find a date in early July, then, and get about inviting the guests and whatever else it is they feel the need to do. You know what women are like. It wasn't the kind of comment Reuben found particularly funny, but he laughed anyway. Sensing the end of the conversation, I crept away to my room before either of the men could discover me. There was still a chance, I told myself, that this wouldn't happen. If I didn't talk about it, I kept the only control I still had left over the situation, my own ability to remember or to suppress. If I kept the knowledge to myself, it could in some tiny way be made less real. Uncharacteristically, my father decided not to punish me that night for touching myself. I suppose he had more than enough to think about. The next day, he barely spoke to me even though it was a Sunday and avoided eye contact until dinner. This Sunday, just like every Sunday, we held a family gathering with others in the commune, including two friends of mine. It was always a modest meal, but usually I enjoyed the chance to gather together. Women were of course not permitted to speak unless spoken to, but I enjoyed eating with my friends and laughing together as we cleared the dishes. In the kitchen, we often found some small way to poke fun at the conversation of our fathers, husbands and brothers, as much as we respected them. Today though, although I tried, I was in no mood to laugh, and my stomach felt hard and angry. I didn't want to put anything in my mouth. Not even food. After he said thanks, my father stood up and raised his glass. "I have some excellent news," he announced. "Reuben has asked for Letitia's hand in marriage. And I've accepted." The table took a collective breath. I reminded myself to be grateful I'd overheard the men's conversation the night before, or this would have been news to me as well. My mother's face was glowing. A Kinder family friend, a woman, looked over at me with sympathy. "Did Reuben ask you too?" I shook my head. She turned back, smiling at my mother but with a sad expression, and I felt a burst of love for this older woman. She had spoken out of turn, and could have been punished for it, but she'd done it anyway. It was more than my mother had done in my life. My father continued on about Reuben's godliness and accomplishments, and after asking for permission, my friends, both already married to much younger men, leaned over to congratulate me. Their steady, eager faces were full of excitement for me, for the match. Did I think Reuben was handsome? What was he like out of the prayer room? What did I think our children would look like? How old was he anyway? 40? 45? My friends had parents who cared about them and protected them at all costs, even their fathers. I didn't have the heart to tell them that no one had asked my consent for the match. In truth, I was scarcely thinking about my marriage to Reuben. The prospect of my father raping me on my wedding night was too overwhelming. It dominated everything. Surrounded by my friends' good wishes, my father looked over and smiled at me for the first time that day. It was a look of pure love. I smiled back, able at once to remember the conversation I'd overheard and to momentarily dismiss it as a dream. It was better to live that way, as much as I could. After dinner, my father finally summoned me to his room. I went in with a sense of doom. I doubted he would reveal the plan to rape me, as he hated awkwardness, and I knew he also wouldn't rape me tonight. He respected Reuben too much for that. But the prospect of seeing him, being alone with him, was almost unbearable, knowing what was to come in less than a month. He sat down on his bed, his legs wide apart, and motioned for me to stand in front of him. "So, Letitia, you're to be married." "Finally." "Yes, father." He smiled. "He's a good match." I was silent. He straightened himself and assumed the voice he used when he taught in church. All the men preached, and it was my duty as a woman to listen to whatever they said, asking questions only afterwards, at home, in accordance with 1 Corinthians. I never particularly liked my father's sermons. But he was my father. His words were important. "Now it's very important, and your mother will tell you this too, it's very important that you're obedient to your husband, Letitia. Do you understand?"
"Yes, sir."
I already understood too well. If he tells you to do something, you must never question his authority. He will be your head, and he's a man of considerable learning, Titia. God has given him to you to serve him in all things. And I'll be extremely disappointed in you if I hear he's ever unhappy with you." I shuddered. Did he think I didn't already know these things? He paused. "Which is why I was very disappointed to hear something Reuben told me last night." He looked at me with disgust and fascination. "Would you like to tell me what you did?" His trousers had already become tent-like at the front. My face must have been bright red. I couldn't get the words out. "Well?" my father said impatiently. I shook my head. "Don't be coy with me, Letitia. You know what you did. Say it." There was nothing I was more ashamed of. I touched myself. I finally whispered, mortified. "You touched yourself," my father said vindicatively.
"Yes, father."
I rushed. "I'm so sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. I had been thinking about being raped."
"Oh, I know what you were thinking. You were thinking of yourself. You never think about your future husband, do you, or the shame you bring on me?"
"Come closer." Any closer than I was standing would be much too close. But I stepped forward. He moved his hand up. I sensed where it was going, but I couldn't believe it until it was there. My father cupped the place between my legs. His big, short hand was over my skirt, but with nothing else in between I could feel its heat. He looked me in the eye. "This belongs to your future husband," he said with some satisfaction. "Do you understand?" He had made his point, but he couldn't seem to move his hand away. I should have started crying, but the brutality of the moment numbed me.
"Yes, sir."
Rather than moving it then, my father pulsed his hand very slightly against me. Over my skirt, it might have been possible for him to imagine that what he was doing wasn't wrong, that I wouldn't notice. That it was still within the bounds of fatherly protection. Still, I knew he would never have dared this before his conversation with Reuben. I was now more glad than ever that he didn't know I'd overheard it. "You must never touch yourself again, Letitia. Women were never meant to do that. You'll ruin yourself. This is for your husband to enjoy. You don't want him not to like you on your wedding night, do you?" He licked his lips. Despite all my training to be obedient, I couldn't bring myself to respond.
"Letitia?"
His hand was still pulsing greedily. I mumbled and looked down. "Do I have to marry Reuben, sir?" He took his hand away and looked at me with amused gentleness. "Oh, Titia." I was embarrassed to have asked, but although I knew I wouldn't like it, I felt grateful that he seemed inclined to give me an answer. He thought for a second. Come here and sit on my knee. I numbed myself and shuffled forward. Closing my eyes as I got close to him, I perched myself on his left leg. It felt warm. He smiled, fitting his arm naturally around me. He laid his right hand gently on my skirts again, as though it were normal, pressing just below my waist. What's the fifth commandment? I gulped. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I had known it by heart almost since I was old enough to speak, but he'd started to move his hand slightly downwards again. That's right, Letitia. God has given you to us, and he wants you to do what pleases us. I know it might not be what you think you want. He started to rub his hand very slowly over my skirt. But you'll find great satisfaction in being Reuben's wife. Especially when you can start to bear him children. He smiled at me. It's a woman's greatest gift. Her purpose. You don't want to spoil yourself for your husband, do you? I stared at him. You're not going to touch this. His hand was now rubbing my vulva through my skirt with unmistakable precision. Again? I could do nothing but stare and freeze, my body rooted to his leg. His hand felt good. You mustn't touch what isn't yours, Letitia. I know it feels nice, but God will find it difficult to forgive you for something so disgusting. No, sir. I mumbled, guilt burning my face. That's right. Now what do you say? Sorry, sir. And? I'll never touch myself again. Good. He finally stopped rubbing me. Go and get my switch so I can make sure you remember. My emotions were necessarily absent. I was going to get married to Reuben, my rapist, and my father was going to rape me on my wedding night. There was no way out. They were men. Poised, I went to the corner to reach that favorite switch of his and passed it humbly back into his hands. I was 21, and my father was still beating me. It was as though I were his wife. You know what to do, he said, his voice choking up with something. I did. I hiked my skirts up to my waist. Since Reuben had stopped allowing me to wear underwear, there was no need for my father to ask me to pull it down. My father breathed shallow breaths as he eyed up my front parts, which he would soon be allowed to dominate. But not yet. The only act of resistance I had at my disposal was to not give him the satisfaction of looking at it for too long, but to bend myself quickly over his legs so he could beat me. He sighed. He shifted my body so my behind lay perfectly between his legs, giving him the best view of it. The one advantage of being raped so many times in this place was that I was now used to having this part of me stared at and prodded. My hole, which must have been staring up at my father, had had worse. My father wouldn't touch it. Before Reuben, though, I had been innocent of the sexual potential of this area. My father's interest in it seemed dirtier than before. You must never disobey me again. His voice was rough. Do you understand? Yes, sir. He owned me. He brought his cane down on me harder than he ever had before. I juddered and his breath quickened. Another hard crack. He brought me closer towards him, and I felt his thing press up against my thigh. I felt a sudden pang of resentment towards my mother. Was she not giving him what he wanted? I moved my thigh very slightly closer towards him, settling it on his cock. I was curious to feel his shape. Stay, Letitia. He ordered, as though I were a dog. He beat down on me again, getting into a regular rhythm. No, I shouldn't blame my mother for this. I felt sick that I'd had such a thought. She shouldn't have to satisfy him. Despite everything I'd ever been taught, I felt very strongly that that was wrong. Besides, I was well equipped to handle my father's desire. I could take it for both of us, if that was what she needed. You're a sinful little girl, aren't you? My father was making it clear with his switch that he wouldn't tolerate any disobedience from me again. The thought of me thinking I had the right to touch myself disgusted him. I understood. It was important to him that I was pure, just as it was important that I took the full shame of my body and the attention it brought, including his on myself. My father's cock was stiff beneath my thigh. No, it wasn't my mother's fault that he liked me. And yet a part of me, deep down, uncontrollable, wanted to blame her for this rather than completely blaming myself. Did she know what he wanted from me? Did she offer me up in her place and turn a blind eye to his attraction, preferring not to think about it? If I ever became a mother, I promised myself I would never be so weak. I would take everything. Just as I was taking everything now. Although he meant every switch of the cane, my father was also enjoying beating me. I knew enough to be sure of that now. But it was okay. I could clench my teeth. Deep inside me, there was a part of me that he could never get to. Neither he nor Reuben. He shifted my pelvis again, this time backwards so my private bits rubbed against his right leg. He could no longer feel me rubbing against his cock, but I couldn't help but wonder if he was waiting to feel me rub myself helplessly against him. He wanted to show me how much I needed him. Or perhaps it was incidental. Maybe he just wanted to get me into a position where he could hit me harder. Either way, I was sure he was thinking about my wedding night. I felt his eyes forcing themselves on my body as he whacked me with a passion. He needed to punish me for what he was feeling. His switch had already built up sore lines of pain on my backside, but it didn't stop. He was relentless. My muscles began to relax and I felt myself becoming softer, more pliant. My father wanted me. I should give him what he wanted. It was better to be obedient and to serve him. Every time the cane hit me, I was pressed into his leg. But it wasn't enough. Suddenly I felt a wild compulsion to touch myself. It was all I could do to keep my hands from darting down to his lap to do it. I thought of Reuben owning me, and of my father's desire. I let out a tiny hum. Very slightly, I rocked myself against his leg. When he noticed, his breathing became rough. He sighed hard.
"You're a little slut, Letitia," he finally said, with something in his voice. It sounded like sadness, and yet the words came out strong and clear.
There was a loud pause. Then, for the first time ever, my father set down his cane and instead, hit me with his bare hand. It was relatively soft. Unlike Reuben, he wasn't used to using this as his implement. He tried again. I could tell this time was much more to his liking. He held his hand there for a second. The feeling of my naked skin and my roundness seemed to stun him as he touched it for the first time with his hand with no clothing in between. I felt a change come over the air and touch his body and mine. He couldn't speak or move. Then, to my surprise, he moved his hand back down to his side.
"Get up. That's enough now."
His voice was hoarse and he sounded almost sick. Quickly I got up from his lap and brushed down my skirts. I looked at him for my next command, but none came. His eyes were downcast. His shoulders seemed to heave. I sensed this was my moment to go. I crept away but couldn't stop looking back at him. The tension was palpable. As soon as I had passed out of his bedroom, I heard a scramble of zippers and buttons. I couldn't stop myself from waiting a moment to listen. His breaths were fervent. Short. For several seconds I heard them build, along with other quiet but unmistakable sounds. In a matter of seconds he was silent. I wondered what he would do about his ejaculate. Reuben had always finished inside of me, in my mouth or in my behind. But I couldn't wait to hear him clean himself, and do up his trousers. Instead I ran. I ran to my room, and shut the door fast behind me. My chest pounding, I flung myself on my bed and frantically moved my hands up between my skirts to do the thing I was forbidden. I felt guilty that my father had been forced to ejaculate into the air, rather than into something warm and tight. But right now, the future was more compelling than the past. For the first time, I let myself feel the full, terrible weight of what I now felt for certain was true. I was going to marry Reuben. And when I did, I was going to belong more fully to my father too.
Chapter 05.
My wedding day came too quickly. I don't remember the day as a continuous event. Instead, I can see it only in flashes, and an overall atmosphere of bewilderment. My father's tight hold as he walked me down the aisle and handed me to Reuben. My mother's tearful, stupid joy. My own awkward inability to control my veil, which kept blowing capriciously, seeming to have a life of its own. I could hardly bring myself to look at my new husband. Half of me was too impressed by him to handle his gaze on me. What could a dazzlingly intelligent man of 41 want with me for the rest of his life? He had been raping me for just under a year, now. I surely couldn't be of interest to him for much longer. As he had never asked me for my hand, I had no idea why he would want me, a sinful, stupid little girl, 20 years his junior. The other half of me hated him for selling my wedding night to my father. The pact they had seemed to make together terrified me. Why was it necessary? What did it mean? And if it wasn't necessary, was it a matter of pleasure? There was only one thing I felt sure of: if it was a matter of pleasure, it wouldn't be mine. I was surrounded with smiles and prayers for my happiness, but none of it felt real. I passed through it. The only moment that seemed solid to me was a glimpse I had of Reuben and my father at the wedding feast, laughing together and impressing each other and all the men around them. I felt worthless until we were alone, just Reuben and me. He had carried me over the rug into his home, a house much like my father's and just a minute's walk away in the commune, and carried me all the way up the stairs. When he set me down in his strange-smelling bedroom, he looked at me with genuine fondness. "Well, Titia, how do you like your new home?"
"Very much, sir," I said timidly.
My mother had always taught me that a man's pride was precious.
"Good. Good."
Reuben stroked my face, and then kissed my mouth with unusual passion. He rarely kissed me, and it felt sweet and warm. His lips melted into my mouth, knowing what they were doing. His tongue mastered mine, but I still shot it back at him gently, playing, teasing. When the kiss had ended, he went in again. Perhaps he really did like me. Finally, he lifted his lips from mine and looked at me seriously. "But you should still call me Master when we're alone."
I blushed.
"Sorry, Master."
He smiled.
"Don't worry. I know it's been an unusual day, so I won't punish you for forgetting that tonight. And besides, you look so..." I waited breathlessly for his validation. "I wouldn't want to ruin that dress. Speaking of which, I think it's about time we took it off, don't you?"
"Not yet. Please."
I nodded placidly. I was his wife now.
Good girl.
He'd always been good at taking off my clothes, and even now with this intricate dress, he managed the buttons and fastenings with relative ease. Soon, with a little help, my wedding dress was on the floor. I stood in nothing but the white satin slip my mother had picked out for me. I was almost naked for him. He was too mesmerized to pick my dress from the floor, or to let me hang it up. My dress, which I liked, despite everything it represented. Which had taken almost half a day of ironing and many more to design and sew. He stood on it, breathing me in. His hands and eyes were too busy with the shape of my curves. I could tell he liked the feel of the smooth satin of my slip, especially as he rolled it around my breasts.
"You're mine now, Letitia," he finally said.
"Do you understand what that means?"
"Yes, Master," I said submissively.
If I was to be his wife, I would need to learn to look him in the eyes when he said such things, so I lifted mine up to stare into his. His eyes were a whole world, and were startlingly full of emotion.
"I knew you would."
He sighed and stroked my face again. I doubt you know just how clever you are, Letitia. It's almost a shame you're a girl. I never received a compliment like this. And from him. I didn't know what to do with my face. But it's important you remember that you are just a girl. I'll do my best to help you remember, and in return, you must promise to honor me beyond even what you'd usually expect of a wife.
Yes, master. That means complete obedience. I should never have to ask you to do the dishes faster, or remind you to make my meals or keep the house clean. And whenever I want to use you, you should be available to me. No complaints or stupid, sullen looks, and no speaking unless you're spoken to, even in our home.
He paused, and a grim look of what I now recognized as arousal passed over his mouth and eyes.
My pleasure will be your pleasure. Do you understand?
Yes, master.
Good girl.
He pinched my cheek. Now I know you didn't choose to be my wife. But this is what God has chosen for you. He added tenderly. And I know you're going to do your best to please me. You're a good little girl, aren't you? He moved the slip to expose one of my breasts, and gave me a light, impulsive spank on my behind. I blushed, utterly humiliated. I knew I was much younger than him, but I hated when he called me that.
Aren't you? He asked, squeezing my nipple.
Yes, master. He smiled and began to massage my breasts. I knew it from the first moment I saw you. I knew I could do anything to you, and you'd just take it. His voice had become almost romantic.
You were made that way, Letitia. Just for me.
I could no longer meet his gaze. And for your father too, I think. He added. His eyebrows furrowed. Pick up your veil and give it to me. It was a strange request, but I bent down immediately. The silk veil was buried beneath my dress and his feet, and I struggled not to annoy him by pulling on it too hard.
Hurry up.
He whacked me again on my backside, this time hard. I staggered but quickly picked myself back up and put my long veil in his hands, my eyes downcast.
Now lie down on the bed.
Was he planning to take me tonight instead of my father, after all? The thought flashed through my head, but I didn't dare to hope. I walked to the bed with a grace I didn't feel, and laid down quickly for him. He stepped up beside me, but his voice gave away no excitement, only a slow, patronizing expectation of obedience.
Hold out your hands.
I'd been trained all my life to obey my future husband. He pinned my wrists together and tied a complicated knot around them with my veil.
I didn't understand.
Then, when he was satisfied, he stretched them out above my head and tied them to his bedpost.
Good.
Very good. He lifted the slip back up to cover both of my breasts and gazed at me, his new bride. I was his possession, now more than ever before. Was I good enough for him? I could hardly look at his face. For one final time, he moved his hand down to below my waist. I knew what he wanted to touch. I opened my thighs and he found it, the tight, smooth tissue that represented the only virtue I supposedly had left. The feeling of it seemed to transport him. At last, he spoke again. I'd love to take your final virginity, Letitia. But I've decided to make a gift of it. He looked into my face, and looked amused when he saw my numb and slightly defiant expression.
Oh, you know?
Yes, master. My chin trembled.
Well, this should be easy for you, then.
You'll understand. Your father was very generous with you even before we were engaged. So I'd like to return the favor. You're going to be a good little girl for him, aren't you? He didn't expect a reply. He found it in my eyes.
Good.
The place between my legs seemed to burn. Reuben left the room. I closed my eyes, hoping to disappear. I realized, now, that I hadn't imagined what was to come in any detail. The fact that it would happen was already too difficult. But now that it was about to happen, I felt so unprepared. After less than a few minutes, Reuben reappeared. My father was just behind him. His face was indescribable. I'd felt subdued, ready to be obedient and to get this over with. But a fire flashed within me at the sight of him. My veil had been so wild earlier in the day, but now it held me fast and tight. It wasn't on my side.
Nobody was.
I'll leave you to it. My new husband said cheerfully, moving resolutely towards the door. This was hard for my father. Would you like me to wear a con? Reuben laid a hand on my father's arm, putting him out of his misery.
No.
She's your daughter. You should enjoy her.
Fully.
My father gasped, but couldn't seem to smile.
Thank you,
he said sincerely. He rubbed his hands together, looking at the young, smooth skin of my long thighs, and at what lay between them. My whole body was entirely open to him. Even my face must have looked submissive, I thought bitterly. It didn't know how to look any other way. My mind begged Reuben to stay, but my body lay impassively, waiting for my father. Reuben smiled, knowing he was no longer wanted in the room, and closed the door behind him. It was just us now. My father took another long look at me and licked his fat lips. The white satin slip was bunched over my breasts and navel, barely covering the very tops of my legs. My ankles trembled. The lower part of my labia stood exposed to the air, waiting. I desperately wanted to cover it with my hands, to rub it in my anxiety, but my hands were fixed. Unable to stand the terrible anticipation, I couldn't help writhing, the veil around my wrists twisting my flesh in a surprisingly strong hold. I tried to keep my hips still to stop the satin from pulling further and further up, exposing more of my sex to the air, but it was no good.
Letitia.
My father said, very, very softly. The extent to which I was trapped was becoming more and more apparent. This was happening. Really happening. My father's eyes, gentle and hard at once, were cutting into me, and the combination of the silk and my frightened chain kept me barely able to move. He crept closer. His ugly corduroy trousers hung unmistakably around a concerning bulge. I couldn't stop staring at it, my eyes stupidly wide. "You have no idea," Dash, his voice cracked, feeling horribly real. He didn't finish the sentence. Instead, I heard him fumbling with his zipper and unbuttoning himself. It was the same sound I'd heard from outside his bedroom after he last spanked me for touching myself. I had known then why it was an abomination for me to use my body for my own pleasure. It was his. I was his. My father's. I always had been. My father's cock was pink. Very short, but thick, looking stubborn. Manly. It curved very slightly to his left, which happened to be my direction. My tongue felt wet. His face had become visibly hot as he stood naked before me, his daughter, shameless in his eagerness to rape me. I struggled against the silk of my husband's hold, but my wedding veil seemed just as compelled to obey the men as was I. I felt myself sinking into the bed. Too quickly, my father climbed on top of me, gazing down at my face, and smiling at my fear and my blushes. He seemed pleased to be on top of me. This was how he'd raised me to be. Innocent. Helpless. Obedient. For the first time in my life, he looked proud of me. I made a slight sound, my eyebrows furrowing minutely, and he smiled even more. "Shhhh now. You're going to be a good little girl for me, aren't you?" I nodded almost imperceptibly. For the first time, he laid his hands on the soft shape of my breasts. He was trembling. He sighed at the feeling of them, firm and soft and big in his hands. I knew they were nothing like my mother's, and I felt almost sorry for him. How long he'd been deprived of what he wanted, even though he was a man. How long I'd made him want me with my body, walking around, living in the same house as him. It wasn't right. But he was too law-abiding to ever have laid a finger on my breasts before this. He needed the permission of my husband. I stopped struggling at my father's touch. It felt almost embarrassing at this point to suggest I thought I could ever escape. Instead, my mind took me somewhere else, and at the same time, I was psychologically paralyzed in the room, in the bed, painfully present. My father wasted no time. He wasn't interested in touching my sex now. He no longer needed to demonstrate his ownership of it, and he certainly didn't need me to touch his, already erect and frighteningly stiff-looking. His face eager, he lowered himself on top of me. He pushed the white satin up above my waist, and rested his big, stubby hands on the small of it, his hips directly above mine. "My daughter," he said lovingly. It was like a prayer. I felt sick. His hands found my breasts again, squeezing them, playing with them, fascinated. His sex was dangling above mine now, hitting me softly as he bobbed up and down above me, exploring my upper body with his grasping, needy hands. He wouldn't stop breathing me in, with loud, obvious sniffs that made me unable to look at him. My scent made him more dangerous, seeming to empower him. I locked my knees together, hoping he wouldn't notice this small, final attempt at defiance. "Don't fight me now, Letitia. You won't deny your own father, will you?" I shook my head tearfully. "That's right. You don't want to disappoint your husband. This was a gift. He wouldn't want you to spoil it now, would he?" His voice had become firmer and more patronizing. "It's your duty to obey me and serve me." He pinched my thighs, still closed together, and looked at them expectantly. "Letitia?" Mortified, I let my left thigh fall slightly outward. Surely that was enough. He slapped me hard on the cheek. In a strange way, my face was glad. "You've always been a little bitch, haven't you? You're lucky you found such a generous husband. Most men wouldn't go near such a frigid cunt." I'd never heard my father swear like that, but it didn't matter now. And he was right to be angry with me for getting in his way. What was I thinking? This was what my husband wanted me to do. What my father needed from me. I was a frigid bitch. Selfish. Rather than waiting for me to make myself easy for him to access, he forced my thighs open with his palms. They were quickly sore from the pressure he ramped down on them, but it didn't matter. He literally licked his lips, hungry for me, his own daughter. Shaking, he aligned his small, sturdy cock to the opening of my slit. My mind turned, of all places, to that horrible passage in Genesis. Was this what happened to Lot's daughters? I had always wondered. The Bible said they had seduced him, but of course it would. It was written by men. I realized in this moment that my virginity meant nothing to me. But to my father, it meant everything. His daughter's virginity. The joy of it being his, of really being able to do this, washed over his face with a horrible beauty. Before I knew it, my body yielded to my father. He gasped. He pushed. Then, the world as I knew it was gone. With a skill I wasn't expecting, the tip of his cock edged tantalizingly into my hole, taking the last dregs of my purity, my honor, and filling me with silk and velvet and the most intimate embarrassment. His cock was small, but it felt so big. The feeling of him, my father, the man who had raised me and punished me so many times across his lap, now inside my body. His anguished desire. His trepidation and longing, finally consummated. And the look on his face, condescending and violently entitled to his daughter, unable to stop himself despite what he must have known about my own wishes somewhere inside himself. This was all it took, the impossible intensity of him physically inside me, the most wrong thing I could ever imagine, and to my shame, my body erupted. I turned to liquid, shaking, shuddering, soft and silent. Stupidly simpering, like a wild animal. A slave. A magnet from somewhere inside me pulled my father's small, rigid shaft deeper and deeper. I must have looked pathetic, wrapped in satin, quaking beneath him, but it seemed to confirm everything he had ever known and fantasized of, for he stayed calm and focused, except to let out a cry of ecstasy. Yes, this was definitely what happened to Lot's daughters. They had left Sodom, and their mother had just been turned into a pillar of salt. Lot had offered them up to the city to rape in the place of God's angels just a few verses before. What chance did they ever have? My own father was all the way inside of me now, my honor long gone. His hands grasped at my belly, my breasts, which were pliant and fully ready for him. My body was there to give, to be taken from. "You look obscene," he muttered. He squeezed me so hard that I feared it would leave marks for my husband, and buried his head in my breasts. His stubble grazed me as he nuzzled against me roughly and then moved his head up, his mouth latching onto my left breast. "My father," he sucked hungrily, as though he expected milk from such big breasts, even though I was a virgin only a few moments before. His groin was rubbing against the parts of me that I usually like to touch. That I would rub against his trousers when he spanked me. He felt so tight and warm inside me. I let out a soft, delirious murmur as he nibbled and sucked at me. When he'd finished sucking, he slowly rubbed my belly, growling softly. His thrusts were long and deep. His body hulked and rocked in circles, rhythmically breaking me down even further. Overwhelming me. How long had he been imagining this moment? This felt very different from the things Reuben had done in my behind. Despite feeling like the most perverse thing humanly possible, having my father inside me, taking me like this, felt like my duty. His cock inside me, touching my womanhood and filling me with a kind of light, with nothing to separate us. Perhaps this was how it should be between father and daughter, after all. Perhaps this was what God wanted. Unrestricted access to the daughter, a vessel for the father's desire, for his firm, righteous lust, his wet seed. He was hoarse and pumping inside of me, with happy, brilliant looks of disbelief. I felt a pang of sympathy again for his old lungs as they gasped with the enjoyment of my 21-year-old body. I reminded myself then that he was raping me. He was exercising his will over me, my own father, in the most humiliating way, on my own wedding night. For other girls, this was a night of love and gentleness. Pure, innocent happiness. Other girls, who were treated with respect by their husbands and by all around them. Girls who didn't see themselves as slaves. I felt a sharp, stabbing bitterness. My life was so different from theirs. But this was how it was for me. I clenched my jaw. I could take it. I was strong. "Good girl, Letitia," my father sang, interrupting my determination. This softness was more humiliating than anything he could have done. He was pleased with me. He was smiling because of just how obedient, passive, pathetic I was. How easy I was making it for him to rape me. This was what I'd become, or perhaps had always been. "Good girl." A shadow passed his face, and he appeared preoccupied, before gritting his teeth. "You've always been a little whore, haven't you?" Yes, that was better. His thrusts became more violent and stiff. I realized that his conscience, his godly guilt, had begun to stifle him. His whole expression had changed to one of erotically charged contempt. It was true. I had always been a whore. Perhaps my eyes reflected it. If I wasn't a whore, this definitely wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't stop at being raped by just one man. You needed me. He sighed roughly and his voice became hard. You needed me. Your own father. My eyes tried to punch a hole in the wall through which I could escape. He slapped me for a second time. This is what you want, isn't it? Isn't it? I was silent. He thrust hard in me and felt empowered to continue. You wanted to act like a little whore to make me come inside you. You needed your own father to teach you a lesson. He spat derisively, and it landed on my left cheek. You're disgusting. I seemed to have an endless capacity to take him all in. I throbbed sore, but for every bit of pain, something deeper inside of me seemed to call out to him twice as powerfully. He understood me. He knew me, just as Reuben did. Yes. Disgusting. I must have looked utterly submissive, but I felt fierce too with my father inside of me, angry as he was. My father. If you were a good girl, Letitia, none of this would have happened. He was saying. But this is what you are. You need me to teach you, don't you? To assuage him, I nodded. It seemed to work a little. That's right. You don't know what's good for you, but that's only natural. He carried on thrusting, and then added, some girls just need their fathers their whole lives, to help them understand. The words sank into me like honey into toast. Please, no. No. Not this. He was smiling again now, and I knew he had convinced himself again that his actions were just. He leant down to kiss me tenderly on the cheek, pausing deep inside me. I can take care of you, if you like. Choice was not a thing that existed in this moment. My head nodded thoughtfully, and with the most submissive voice I'd ever heard myself use, my mouth said it. Thank you. What was I doing? My father looked delighted with himself, and closed his eyes to concentrate on the depths of my satiny walls, tight around his cock. I had done well. This was what love was. My father loved me. He wanted me. I was pleasing him, actually pleasing him. I'd heard that virgins felt very good to men, and wondered whether it was true. A terrible thought flashed into my head. Would I still be good for Reuben, after he'd offered my virginity up to my father? Or would my husband always look at me with regret, eyeing my front hole with disgust and preferring the natural tightness of my back one? The physical pain that I felt right now was nothing compared to the shame of that thought. How would I satisfy my husband? Would he still like me? I must have looked agitated, because my father kissed me again, this time on the forehead, and whispered, "You now. You want me to come inside you, don't you? I didn't shake my head or cry out. I just lay there. He appeared more masculine now than ever before, kind but determined and entitled to my body. He was rightfully concentrating on his pleasure now above all. His thrusts became more varied, clearly uninterested in my experience, as he experimented with how to get the most from his daughter's body. His hands wandered around me, feeling my delicate neck, the tight skin of my belly, brushing the richness of my thighs with his thick fingers. Then, with a sudden burst of urgency, he pulled my legs up onto his shoulders, bending my body in two. His cock hit me hard as he forced himself repetitively into me, and my opening felt so stretched and sore each time he rubbed in and out, so that I knew I would be bleeding. But a wild look of pleasure spread across his face, like cruel sunshine. I smiled up at him sweetly in my madness. Even if he was my father, the feeling of giving pleasure to a man triggered something in me. Letitia. My father looked down at me lovingly, but he was too far gone to be able to smile. Instead, he forced himself in one long movement as far as he could inside me, and with a moan, leaned down to kiss my mouth, lunging his thick tongue inside my throat compulsively. In a few seconds, I felt a subtle wetness mix with my own and realized it with horror. He had finished inside me. He let out one final, heart-wrenching moan as his tongue raped my mouth, and his cock began to soften inside me, staying happily in me, my feet still pointing at the ceiling. He lifted his face to gaze obtrusively at mine, sighing as he kept his cock inside me, soft and small but still able to penetrate his daughter. Finally, he pulled himself out and scrambled his clothes back on. I was frozen. He gave me one last look at my arms, still helplessly tied to the bed, my full, sore breasts, and the wet place between my legs, his seed seeping from me onto the bedsheet and planted a soft, single kiss on my forehead. "Good girl," he whispered, stroking my cheek, his eyes wide and almost tearful. "You're a very good little girl." The end. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.